Blog Talk Radio.
This is from Kelly, 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 Manjaro, Tanzania. Come on, you put your heads and all the people here, man. It's gonna go everywhere in Africa. Prime C, I'm gonna tell you about home.
You wanna hear about what I wanna tell about? Nataka kusikia, nachotaka kuongea. Homo empathy, homo, homo empathy. Homo empathy, homo, homo empathy.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. From time to time, we will have a special presentation on a variety of topics. Homeopathy is a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooks. Please contact HWC if you would like to help support the show as a sustaining member or have suggestions for future shows. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Please share by tweeting on Twitter, posting on Facebook and MySpace, and all other social networks. You may select the widget and place the player on your blog or website. With gratitude to all our listeners, let's go!
Hi, this is Debbie Brooks, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Today is one of our special broadcasts, and I have been in touch with Ellen Kramer, who is the principal of the Homeopathy College, a renowned homeopath treating patients worldwide and author of books on homeopathy, as well as a spokesperson on health and wellness. And I just sent out a broadcast message to the community to let them know that today we were going to just have this chat about the threat to homeopathy and in general alternative medicine, not just around the world, but in specific hot spots on location around the world. And one of those places is in the UK. So I was in touch with Ellen, and she's going to do her best to sign on. And she's working on that right now, figuring out how she's going to sign on through, I guess, in order to get in, you have to register. And you can do that, one, by just signing on without Facebook, putting in your email and creating an account, or the other way is to do it through Facebook. So it may take her a few minutes to get on to do that. And in that case, I will give you some background information just about Blog Talk Radio in general, the Homeopathy World Community shows that we have, which are quite numerous. Over the past 2 years, we've done over 300 shows. At first, I started talking for a whole year about Hahnemann's Organon of Medicine, just the founder of homeopathy and how he taught us to perceive health and wellness, how to perceive disease and matching energy remedies, and also how to become a good physician. And in addition, we had a number of shows, a little series with Kaviraj on organic gardening and how agrohomeopathy could benefit the world. In addition to that, we have had ongoing over 2 years of shows each Thursday at noon with Alan Phillips talking about vaccinations and your rights in the United States. And you could extrapolate that out to your rights anywhere on the planet, because when you learn about the law and legalities and what's being done politically, in society, you get a little better understanding and feel of where you need to take a stand and whether you need to speak out or whether you can let other people do it for you to take control. Then at 11 o'clock on Thursdays, which we will have another show with Christina Chambrow at that time. She is a doctor of veterinary medicine. We talk about pet health and how to make observations about pet behavior, and we're going to continue to do that tomorrow. Okay, so let's see. We're going to try and help Ellen. I'm going to tell her to take your time and register. There's a way to register to get on to Blog Talk Radio. Let me see if I'm not looking at the home screen, but if you go to the Blog Talk Radio, and I want to just check if she's able to hear me. It's not really good to have some blank air, but there is a way for you to click on to the Blog Talk Radio at the top of the page and actually sign on and register, if not through Facebook, just through your email, and creating a password. And that is how you might do it normally, and that's how I've done it. No? In this case, we may have to reschedule because I'm not sure what's happening with her on the show to be able to get her on air. Normally, if she was living in the United States, I could call her number, but I don't think that I can call long distance. Therefore, we may not be able to have this conversation with Ellen today, and we can work it out to reschedule for another day. In the meantime, I can give some basic information about what's happening and motivate you to get on and hear what's happening on the ground in the UK, her point of view, and also if other folks can get on. So if you are interested in listening to any of these shows and you have never when you get onto the Blog Talk Radio show pages, you're going to see lots of show pages that says live on air. And they typically run between 30 minutes, 60 minutes, or an hour, or just an hour and a half. You click on the show page, and then you'll see as the page refreshes, it says on air, and click the play button, and you'll all automatically hear the show running live stream. And if it's not live stream, you'll be able to see previous shows that have been recorded. Those archives are easily accessible by just clicking the button to play them. And you can even download them to your hard drive so you can have a copy. You can link them to get the RSS feed, and you can have them on your mobile device. So there are many, many ways that you can be listening to the show at your leisure at a convenient time for you, whether you're driving in the car or you're going for a walk outside and you take your cell phone with you and you listen to the podcast. There are many ways for you to be able to participate in hearing our shows. In addition, you can share these shows with other people by just giving them the link, the URL, either on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Facebook, even on your website. You can post that link. You can even put the little blue widget, and I have that widget on the front page of Homeopathy World Community. At that place, then anybody who visits your website can listen to these shows. And that is a really nice way to share what you have learned with your friends and your colleagues. Not only can you put the widget to listen to that will scroll through all of the shows, you can select a particular show that you really enjoyed and put that one up as a play button on your website or blog. So I'm going to go ahead now and read a little bit while we're waiting to see if Ellen can eventually figure out how to register and sign on about what's going on to your access to not only homeopathy but all alternative medicine and how it is being attacked and under threat. In the UK, there is something called the Medicines Act of 1968. And right now they're undergoing a simplification process, a review process, where they look at what the act said and they're making corrections, whether it's subtractions, additions, adjustments, whatever they're doing, they're going to remove duplication of material. The problem with the simplification process is that it could adversely affect your access to homeopathic medicines within the UK if you're living there. And the other thing is, whenever something is done in one place in the country or in any part of the world, it's always being watched by other people who might have an agenda to follow in the footsteps of somebody who's doing these kinds of actions. So other people in other countries might also say, let's make a revision of something that's been established and stabilized in the country. Okay, so great. So now, Ellen, if you are on you're on the show page and you hear me speaking, and if you see an on-air button, let me check. Oh, you're here. I have not been paying attention. Yay, you are on live. Ellen, woo!
Hi, I'm not sure what happened, but somehow I found myself making contact, so here I am.
Yay.
In London.
ET, call home. You've made it on. And
yeah.
So basically I've just been giving a little background. Let me know how the sound is.
The sound is great. I can hear you clearly.
Okay, excellent. And basically anybody who calls in to the show, you're welcome to call in via the Skype button or the guest call-in number, which is 1-347-945-6956. If you call in and want to talk to us, we would be pleased to hear what you have to say, your thoughts about this. And I'm going to check on the chat if anybody is in there. Oh, we have a couple of guests. Fantastic. Basically, we're talking about this health freedom issue, specifically in the UK, and what's happening to the Medicines Act of 1968. And I assume since you are in the midst of it, you would be able to give us the most keen insight.
Well, to be honest with you, this has really been sprung on practitioners and even colleges. CPH is part of the Course Providers Forum, and we only really found out about the changes being made to the 1968 Act by the Joint Committee on Statutory Instruments for approval, which is in late May and early June, so we don't have a lot of time. We only found out last week and have rallied. For me, I sent out emails to all my patients. We sent stuff to all the students, and on our website, we've asked people to write to their MPs. And one of the graduates set up an AVIS petition. So we're busy trying to get up, pull ourselves together. We feel as if this was sprung on us.
Right. So it is. It was a planned agenda to hold this in such fast time,
yes,
that,
yes,
it does not give you preparation to,
no,
get any forces against what's going on. And do you know how they want to change the wording?
Oh, I'm not really, really sure about exactly how they want to change the wording. It's in, I think, number 10 of Section 10 of the Act, which, when you look at it, it almost means that homeopaths will no longer be able to dispense remedies individually for their patients. It means, what it says is that you have to have a face-to-face consultation with a registered pharmacy in order to get unlicensed homeopathic medication. So there's a lot of homeopaths out there who have for years, including myself, I've been in practice for over 16 years, and we're dispensing remedies. And in fact, what I find so bizarre is I have a dispensing license from the MHRA, and I've never been informed about anything. You'd think that if I was registered as dispensing, having one of their dispensing licenses, I would have been contacted to say that things were changing. I've heard nothing. I only heard through my registering body that these changes were happening, and that was only last week.
Well, legally, don't you think that they should have an obligation to notify people before they make any changes to the law?
I think that they do. I don't know who they've been consulting, but what you'll find on these committees, the majority of people who sit on the committees are normally doctors and pharmacists, and they usually know nothing about homeopathy and the way in which homeopaths work. There's no, you know, what you'd expect is that you'd have the majority of people sitting on these committees who would know something about traditional medicines or alternative and complementary medicines, but you don't. You've got one mindset making decisions about something they don't really know anything about.
Right. So what we're talking about, having people who are uneducated in a field of medicine, I would call homeopathy a field of medicine, a field of healing, that they're making laws for those practitioners, and they don't really understand how it works, how to practice. And there's obviously a reason that they're doing this.
Yes. Well, you see, in a sense, the Act has been there since 1968. And to be honest with you, it's very difficult to understand what it is they're trying to say. It's very confusing. And I often think that it's confusing on purpose. That there is absolutely no clarity. And one of our students got a letter back from her MP, Theresa May, who says that the government, and I can read here, please be reassured, the government believes in patients being able to make informed choices in their treatments and professionals being free to deliver treatment they feel most appropriate for their particular need. And she goes on to say that they have no intention of changing anything. So it's sort of doublespeak. It's almost as if she herself hasn't actually read Section 10 and understood the real implications of it.
It seems as if to me they're trying to create this separation so that the homeopath or this goes. Does this also apply to herbal practitioners? And
there's a lot of different stakeholders involved in this. It's not just homeopaths who use homeopathic remedies. There are, in fact, people who are practicing acupuncturists who use homeopathic remedies. There's flower essence prescribers. A lot of kinesiologists use homeopathy. Chiropractors use homeopathy. So, you know, there are many, many people who are using what they call unlicensed remedies for their patients as support.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So this is like adjunct therapy to many, many healers. And it's quite appropriate because even a person could have a home remedy kit and use it for their small emergencies and day-to-day bumps, bruises, coughs, colds, whatever it is. So the question I have is they're trying to separate what the practitioner is trying to give to the person to heal from the person being able to get it.
Yes.
And it's creating this schism between the ability of the person to practice.
Mm. And to be honest with you, some of the things about collecting your remedies, i.e., for instance, I won't be able to dispense remedies for my patients. And normally when I'm giving patients remedies, it's actually individual to them. Some of the remedies I use are nosodes. And I'm assuming, because we haven't actually seen what the 50 licensed homeopathic remedies are. There's only 50 licensed homeopathic remedies. And there's tons of unlicensed remedies. So it means that if I'm dispensing, say, a homeopathic nosode, well, at the moment, I don't know whether we're allowed to anymore.
Okay, so maybe you can clarify for me and the other listeners what they're just talking about when they say licensed and unlicensed and how it applies to this piece of legislation that you're saying that there are going to be 50 licensed remedies that are going to be allowed to be given, and then the rest no?
Yes.
That makes no sense.
It makes no sense because, you know, we don't have many homeopathic pharmacies in the country. So if you live in, you know, the Outer Hebrides and you've seen a homeopath, you can normally phone up the pharmacy and order your remedies, or you can go online and order your remedies.
Okay.
Under this particular section, that will all go. And what they're saying is that you have to go to the pharmacy in person and have a face-to-face consultation with the pharmacy to be able to get your remedy.
Well, the pharmacist isn't the prescriber.
No.
They're just the person who's dispensing and delivering the product. So there's no reason on earth why they should have the power to do that, and why you should be even divulging your personal information to them.
Yeah, this is the madness of this. You know, this law is that it's actually practically it's unworkable. We don't have enough pharmacies to make this practically workable. There's over 6 million patients.
Uh huh. So what do we need to do? Because it sounds like you're telling your students, and you've sent out as many emails. And, you know, if I go on Twitter right now and look, let me see if I do that. You have many, many people following you.
Mm.
And so the word 77, over 77,000 followers. Now, we don't know who those people are or where they live.
No.
But potentially somebody could hear this message and down the line, a chain of events, tell other people, like the telephone game.
Yeah.
And that's really what we need to do, is inform people.
Yeah.
And hopefully they won't, you know, a lot of people put blinders on and close their ears because they can't deal with another piece of information or another act or what do you call posts that they have to do, or you know, it gets to be overwhelming if you're going to try and save the whales and save this and that and now another one. So how do we make this up to the top primary information?
This primary information is at least in Britain, because I've got a feeling that there's a lot of homeopaths who are practicing right at this moment who don't realize this is happening. Because they may not be a member of the Alliance of Registered Homeopaths. They may belong to another registering body, and their registering body may not have informed them
mm-hmm.
of what's going on. So British homeopaths need to tell their patients and put the word out, because there may be patients and users in Britain of homeopathic remedies who are unaware that through the back door, there's a corporate, what I see is, you know, a lot of these quangos that you know, deal with the acts basically have are lobbied by corporations who have a large interest in making sure that homeopathy is unavailable. This is taking away people's health freedom choices through the back door, and very, very subtly. And I think this is important for everybody around the world to be aware that your health freedom choices are being slowly whittled away, bit by bit.
And didn't they just take away the herbalist's ability to dispense the herbs? And what has happened since then? What has been the effect, aftermath of that law?
Well, the aftermath of that law at this moment, and again, this is another one that's going to be ratified, is that many of the herbs that people used to be able to buy in their health food shops have gone.
They just disappeared.
So a lot of users who don't necessarily go to see a herbalist, but who self-prescribe, and this is going to happen to homeopathic remedies, because there are many, many people who use natural remedies. They don't necessarily see a practitioner, But it's their health freedom choice to be able to have access to buy what they want. It's none of the business, I think, of governments to tell people what they can and can't buy. So with the herbalists, at the moment, as a homeopathic practitioner, I'm still able to dispense herbs because I've always dispensed herbs in my practice. And what they're trying to do is bring in statutory regulation so that only medically qualified herbalists can dispense herbs. And there are many people like homeopaths, naturopaths, Ayurvedic practitioners, acupuncturists, who also dispense herbs. At the moment, we're still doing this, but the law is going to change. So I've got two campaigns going on. One is to allow non-medical herbalists and practitioners who've always been using herbs to continue to dispense them. So I'm getting patients who can no longer buy what they want, you know, from their local health food shops, contacting me and saying, look, I need a Venus sativa. I can't find it. Or I need, you know, such and such a herb. Where do I get it? They can't get it anymore. At the moment, they can still order stuff online. But in terms of, you know, free access on the high street, that has gone for ordinary users. And they didn't realize it were coming.
How did they not realize it? There was such a blast of information.
You know, lot of people, like you say, they're just, you know, tired. Because I don't know whether this is happening in the States, but in England, things are changing very subtly. Your freedoms are disappearing.
Definitely.
Without you actually realizing that, you know, that it's going.
Well, if you go on Blog Talk Radio, you're going to see thousands of shows with people talking about these issues of health freedoms and rights, loss of rights, and Occupy Wall Street and all of these other things, because there does seem to be this, I don't even want to call it underground anymore. I think it's totally out in the open that there are people who are vigorously fighting for their rights, and the other people don't realize what the loss is going to mean to them because they're so concerned about security and protection and allowing, giving their authority, their control over their life over to a greater authority, to the Congress or the Parliament or a senator or a legislature, whoever it is, that they imbue with more knowledge, more expertise, knowing. I mean, I heard somebody the other day say, well, you don't know what the president knew that we should, you know, do weapons of mass destruction. You don't know what it was that why he did this. And, you know, we still have to question and we still must ask ourselves and do some soul searching. What's going to happen when we do lose our rights?
Well, I can only see, from where I'm sitting in Britain, you know, we do timelines on patients' cases. And from a homeopathic perspective, what I'm seeing is a decline in human constitutions. And that means that the inherited resources that patients have to use the remedies to heal is going down. And this is because of, this is multitudinal. We're talking about the food people are eating, the continuous drugs they keep taking, and the environmental toxicity. Now, if we do not protect people's health, freedom, rights to choose, and we end up in a monoculture, then I personally feel that, you know, humanity's continuation is at stake, because the long-term implications of these drugs, for instance, I can see in my timelines, you know, gynecological problems of teenage girls today, and when you track back, you realize that their mothers were on the pill, their grandmothers were on the pill, and what they're doing is they're showing, they've never been on the pill, and they're showing all the side effects of being on the pill, or that they've never been on the pill.
Right.
And we have to, you know, as practical homeopaths, you know, we do a lot of work on nutrition, getting the the gut flora back and trying to help the body absorb the essential nutrients and minerals which they lost in order to prepare them for the most indicated remedies like pulsatilla, which don't hold.
And so, yeah, so you're saying that what typically would work for in a Hahnemann's day 100 years ago is not working as it rightly should because of both environmental and chemical and nutritional pollution.
Yeah.
Right.
And it basically what I see is that it's alternative medicine that's actually keeping the pharmaceutical industry going on one level, because when people can't get the treatment they want from their medics,
yeah,
they're finding other solutions. You take that away, and we are destroying the foundation for human constitutions for the future. If we don't fight for this now, what is going to happen to our children and our grandchildren and their children?
I'm already afraid. I have grandchildren, and
so do I.
Yes, and you know, it's we're looking at will our children do to preserve their health and dignity and the way that they live. If you know, you think about this generation turning into zombies.
Mm.
And not having the wherewithal, the energy, the power to stand up and speak out for themselves, we are such caretakers of the next generation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's just having these conversations and letting people listen in and starting to maybe seep in an idea. Because how do we get people to act? And my other question to you is, let's say there is this petition, and you get thousands and thousands of people who sign it. What difference is it going to make? I think that's part of the apathy.
Yeah. I feel that if we put pressure on individual members of parliament, and this is why we're asking, you know, all our students and our graduates, and the ARH is asking all its membership to write to members of parliament. A lot of them actually are unaware that this is going on, and they don't really understand the act. So what we're doing is clarifying what the act means, so that they will put pressure on the the committee, the joint committee on statutory instruments, to relook at section 10 and to look at it in a way that still allows people health freedom choices. It allows homeopaths to prescribe unlicensed remedies for the benefit of their, of their patients.
So the greatest impact will be for the folks who are in the UK to actually connect via writing a letter by hand or doing an email or calling them up. There's the House of Commons Information Office. That's number 020-7219-4272. And besides that number, I'll repeat it again, 020-7219-4272. There's an email, which is HC. That means the House of Commons, I presume.
Yes.
info@parliament.uk. That's hcinfo@parliament.uk. And I don't know who is going to receive that information. It seems as if a secretary or somebody would.
Yeah.
But you can also go online to findyourmp.parliament.uk. And on that website, you can search for Find Your MP.
Mm-hmm.
And then contact them directly, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know, are you going to have like a walk on Washington? Are you going to have a walk to Parliament and get people to wave a flag and put forth their idea of why this is against their rights and freedoms?
Well, I feel that that's actually the next step. If writing to your MP, if they're not hearing, as I said, time is short. It's something that we do need to have, because I know, I don't know what's, the, you know, if the US is the same, but in Britain, over the last 4 years, homeopaths have been continuously attacked by the quackbusters, or, you know, whoever they whatever they like to call themselves. And, you know, they have the media, the mainstream media is totally bought.
That's true.
It's totally bought. So if you're wanting information about what's going on a grassroots level, you're not going to get it from mainstream media. And I think it's the pressure from this pressure group, these lobbyists, which are pushing forward.
And they have the money.
Yeah.
So it's about, you know, people who do grassroots work, who get a dollar. What is your coinage? Your pound. So just give a pound for this, but it's giving a pound of your energy.
Yes, and time. You know, everybody seems to be time poor, but if you are concerned about your children and your grandchildren and their right to access herbs, homeopathy, it should be their human right to choose how they want to treat themselves and to go to the practitioner who's most qualified to support them in that healing process. You see, one of the things that none of these people understand is when you're in alternative traditional medicine, first of all, there's a long history for traditional medicine and the way in which we use our remedies. All traditional medicines follow the principle of healing, and that is basically the body is the healer. Whatever you do on the outside is actually stimulating and supporting the body to heal itself. Allopathy is the only system of medicine that does not follow the principle of healing. It overrides the natural healing process. It has no tools to support it. And in doing this, they're causing much more damage. And it's damage with chemicals that they do not understand the long-term implications for the human race in terms of health. You're not just affecting the health of the person that took it. You're affecting the generations, because this is what we are seeing in clinical practice by taking timelines.
And people in their own families can see the degradation of health. We can see the obesity in even little four-year-old children, which is totally absurd how this can happen, how we can have such a rise in diabetes at all age levels in teens. This is unheard of. So it's a combination of what the society's, their nutritional needs have always been the same, but we're not giving them what they need, the depletion of our earth and soils. And you know what? Here's the craziest thing that I've ever heard. It's last night I was listening to the BBC News, and they were telling us all about the fish that have reached the Pacific coast of the United States, and that they are measuring levels of cesium from the Fukushima plant. Now, instead of broadcasting in mainstream media, and this is going on all our television shows also in our news media, instead of broadcasting, this is a warning, and this can be a buildup of radiation in your body that can cause cancer and other kinds of leukemia and other kinds of diseases and malfunctions with your system, because the smallest amount of radiation can trigger that happening. Instead of concluding with that, they conclude by saying, this shows us how far the radiation can travel. The waste products from Fukushima can travel. It's just, they're
unbelievable.
Totally negating, and in fact, they have the gall to say it's okay to eat this fish.
No.
Yes, and it's like, okay, now anybody listening in their right mind, what are they going to process? What are they going to think? You say, okay, I guess I can eat it. They told me it's okay.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how you feel about that.
Do you know, I'm absolutely astounded. I sit and I think I'm astounded, because it seems that everybody is walking as if in a sleepwalk, thinking it doesn't matter. It's like we're sleeping. But the urgency, you see, to me, the ecology of the earth reflects our internal ecology. Because we have no respect and think that we can treat our bodies and fix our problems with chemicals, we think we can do the same to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as we're sort of disenfranchised from the earth, you know, we see ourselves as separate, we don't realize that, you know, we are also a reflection of the earth. And so there's a big link, I think, with ecology, because the principles for healing apply to ecology too. You can't grow good food by putting chemicals on it. It'll only weaken it, the food you're growing, and it'll make the people eat it weak. You know, washing the chemicals away is not going to get rid of it. You're going to ingest it.
Yes, it's true.
You see, so I think this, you know, in this separation, when I look at what's going on here in Britain in schools, what they're teaching children about health, there is no mention in schools about alternative choices. There's no mention about nutrition and diet. In my daughter's school, when she was growing up, I was shocked. There was not even a water fountain. You could buy Coca-Cola, but there was no water fountain.
In the school?
In the school, yeah.
That's very strange.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the madness that we're in. And yet, you know, you have people sitting on a committee licensing homeopathic remedies as if they were chemicals and they were going to actually detract from people's health.
I'm still wondering how the few are going to overcome the mass, or are we the many, and then there's just a small elite that are running the show?
that's the question.
Well, that's why we see all this revolution on Twitter, and yet they're figuring out a way that they can shut you down.
Yeah.
And so every single time something happens, that means no matter how many times they push us down, we have to stand up again.
Yeah.
And the question is, do we have the strength? Do we have the know-how? Do we have the unity of people to do these things?
Well, I have incredible faith in human beings that they'll wake up before it's too late, and that people will begin to start demanding that, you know, their health, freedom, rights. Because I wrote to patients, and quite a lot of my patients have written back to their MPs about it. And these are ordinary people who are not into health, but who've really benefited from homeopathy. So I'm hoping, I think that to me the campaign is waking up all the users, and especially in health food shops. So I've got a student who works with a big health food shop, and she's busy taking people's emails down and sending them stuff about this, because a lot of people who use health food shops are not aware that this is going on.
So even in the health food stores, it's almost as if there has to be a person on the outside with a placard?
Yes, that's almost what it's like, yes.
And the question is, do we have the resources to put together enough people who was going to stand there for an hour, 24 hours, whatever it is, to inform the people? Because, look, how are we going to make some kind of news that it's going to go on your regular media? How are we going to do that?
That's the question. I haven't really thought this through. You know, one of the things I feel is that this is not just a homeopathic problem. It's a problem that affects every single what they call in Britain the CAM practitioners. I mean, we've already written articles in CAM magazine about your therapy being under threat. I don't, you know, when the herbal directive was going through Europe, a lot of homeopaths thought, oh, well, you know, it's to do with herbalists. It won't affect us. And I kept on saying, it will affect you. Once they've dealt with the herbs, guess what? They'll be looking here. I think that this is a thing until CAM stands up. This is not just about homeopathy. It's about CAM, you know, nutritionists, acupuncturists, Ayurvedic practitioners, all of us. We have to work with one voice and say no, you know, and keep pointing out the damage that chemical therapy is doing.
Right. So the CAM, the complementary and alternative medicine, which
I hate that word.
So we like to call it maybe integrative medicine. It should be primary medicine.
Yes. It is, because to me the alternative medicine is allopathy. It's only been going for about 70 years, and you look at the mess in 70 years. All the chronic diseases have got worse.
Yeah.
You see, so I like to think of us as traditional medicines, because most of the medicines have been here for you know, over 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years. Chinese medicine has been here for over 5,000 years. Ayurvedic medicine, you know, has been around before pre-recorded history. And, you know, these are being put into boxes as alternative medicine. No, they are the main medicine. The alternative is allopathy. And it has no idea what it's doing. It hasn't the wisdom. They have no principles. They have no history or wisdom. It is only profit. And I think whenever anybody refers to allopathy, they should say profit-based medicine.
That would really give it to them. But they wouldn't care, because they're just proud. They would think it's a good idea.
Well, to be honest with you, the thing about Big Pharma is it doesn't understand grassroots change. And this is why this is what this medicine, you know, the changes in Section 10 are all about. It's killing, it's trying to kill off grassroots, because all the media stuff they did, you know, which is, oh, homeopathy isn't, you know, it's not scientific. But guess what? More and more people started asking about homeopathy. We got people coming to the college who said, God, I'm really curious as to why they keep saying it's not scientific. Can you tell me a little bit about homeopathy? And as we explained it to them, people said, well, that makes common sense. Oh, can I book into the student clinic? We found that our clinic just got busier.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they were afraid of.
Yeah. But they created it by publicizing it, by constantly having all this stuff saying homeopathy is unscientific. To me, the only unscientific medicine here is allopathy, because it doesn't follow the principles of healing.
It doesn't have any principles.
I know.
Right. So I want to tell folks again out there, if you're listening, you can go to findyourmp.parliament, PARLIAMENT.UK, and there you can find the name of your MP. From the House of Commons Information Office, you can call 020-7219-4272, and you can email hcinfo@parliament.com. Now, I would like to know, if you're not living in the UK, will it make a difference? And what can you do if you live outside of the UK?
I think even if you live outside of the UK, I think that signing the AVIS petition, even if you don't live in the UK, I think that what that does is it makes MPs realize that this is a much bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of people say, well, what's the point, you know, people signing from all over the world. Yes, people from all over the world should sign that petition, because they're the corporations want us to be a global, you know, global village. Well, hang on, if you're a global village, then what happens in Britain affects you in Australia. it'll affect you in Ghana. You know, I'm Ghanaian, and I go out to Ghana, and it's just wonderful practicing there, you know, working in the villages. You just see how human constitutions should be. And guess what? These are people who have very, very little, but boy, are they happy.
But you know, they're able to access freely.
Yeah, they're able to access freely, and the food that they're eating isn't contaminated. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're eating traditional foods that their forefathers ate, they're still maintaining their health. and they respond very, very quickly to the homeopathic remedies. And it's, I sit there and I think, oh, this is what Hanuman must have felt like. You know, you give one remedy and everything disappears.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we do want to emphasize, don't just sit here with this information. Spread it around.
Yes.
Tell other people. Link to the website. Link to Homeopathy World Community. I will keep this banner up for a very long time so that people can learn about it and link in and listen to the show. I will embed it into the website. You can do it on your own page. Just go to the Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio show page that you're on now, and there is a little link once this show ends that says that you can download it, you can embed the widget, you can tweet it up, so more people out there can listen, put it on your Facebook, whatever you can do, and let people know that they need to take action. And don't delay, because the end of this is going to be like the first week of June.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We haven't got long.
Right, so we have to take action. And so we have about 9 minutes left to the show. And I wanted to mention also, you know, you talk about in Ghana, they're eating natural products from the earth. And
this is the villages. This is in the village, not in the main towns.
Okay, and here we have an article on Mercola.com. If you've never visited that website, I do recommend it because he's got up-to-date information. He says, eating this could turn your gut into a living pesticide factory. And what he's talking about is the new generation of insect larvae that is eating the roots of genetically engineered corn intended to be resistant to these pests.
Yeah.
So basically, we're looking at a total failure of not only the medical system, but this big pharma, it's all failing. And that's why they are bringing out the big guns and the big money and the lobbyists to try and hold us down, because the people are clamoring for ancient wisdom, what really works. Mm. And so you can see that. The bacteria are being superbugs now. The fungus are superbugs. The plant pests are being, they say these are super insect larvae, really big ones. So we're growing the opposite of what we intended by using chemicals.
And that's what we're doing in our bodies too. We're growing the opposite of what we intended in our physical bodies too, by killing all our beneficial bacteria with this continuous antibiotics, being on the pill, the steroids, all the drugs, like antacids, that destroy the beneficial bacteria. We're destroying our immune systems. It's the same thing that's happening to the earth.
And people are, and you're seeing this daily in your college. And I would like for you to spend a little bit of time just at the end of the show to tell the folks where they can contact you, how they can follow you on Twitter at Ellen Kramer, and then just a little bit about your college and the kind of workshops you have to offer.
Well, we run a basically, the college runs a distance learning training in homeopathy. We run a part-time training. We also run a full-time intensive training for people. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can still do our training. We call ourselves practical homeopaths because we use many different ways of applying homeopathy to support the body to heal itself. And this has only come about when, as practitioners, we found that indicated remedies that should work weren't holding. And that actually made us much more connected to nutrition and absorption. And so we use different homeopathic remedies to support the body to absorb the nutrition that it needs in order to heal, so that indicated remedies that are well prescribed will hold, and you know, this will support the patient's long-term health with minimum aggravations. Because often with the aggravations, it's because people are prescribing too deep for the patient, and they don't have the resources to actually do the self-healing. So the body tells them, "I can't heal this, because there's an obstacle, there's something sitting in the way. It's a great training. We have a lot of fun as students. You can go into the College of Practical Homeopathy .com website, where it tells you all about the different courses. And we also run Healing for Homeopathy on a regular basis for people to attend. They can also do this, you know, by distance learning, etc., etc.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes. Now, at the moment, my memory for Facebook and everything is really bad. At the moment, if you just go into our website, you can log into, you know, our Facebook page, the Twitter, etc., etc. And
okay.
Also, the website has a lot of articles that we've done. If you're interested in homeopathy, there are lots of articles that you can go into.
Okay, well, I found your name, facebook.com, Ellen Kramer 1, but I don't know, I guess we could figure out how to link you on there to your college Facebook page. But for those folks who are interested, if you follow twitter.com and / Ellen Kramer, she's constantly posting links to the different articles that were just mentioned, and you can go to collegeofpracticalhomeopathy.com. So I think any last words about, we're going to end in a minute or so. So and folks, you can contact me, homeopathyworldcommunity@gmail.com if you wish, or on Facebook, Homeopathy World Community. Let us know. Give us some feedback whether you enjoyed this show, whether you think it's worth doing more of them, whether you have other people who are experts in this area who you would like to have on. We're here for a conversation and to make a difference in the world.
Well, Debbie, it's really been great touching base with you. Because we've had quite a bit of communication on, at different times, and I think you're doing great work around the world, and promoting and supporting homeopathy worldwide. I think it's essential. This is a great community. These are good people who really do believe in improving humanity's lot.
Yes.
And working really hard, and so thank you for inviting me to discuss.
I hope you'll come back again. If you have a special thing you want to talk about, just let me know. And maybe we'll find out, have you come back on after this whole episode is over and see what turns
what
up.
Happened. That would be great. Thank you very much.
Okay, you take care, and don't forget to put a reminder. These shows are continuing. We're going to have more show tomorrow and Thursday. And the music that you hear comes from Jeremy Scher and his team of promoters for homeopathy. Take a listen.
Thank you for listening to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopath Debbie Brock and special guests. We encourage you to follow our show, favorite the show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when shows air. Share with your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Send in your comments and questions. See you the next time.
Homeopathy.